30 minutes. Frank Gore was talking about just now in the locker room about playing through bruised ribs. Can you just talk about how well he played with that injury and what you saw out of him last night?
Yeah, great game from Frank. Now tough runs. I mean, does what he does, gets low and gets through holes, got a lot of yards after contact. And then he had some big holes too, you know, where they popped into the secondary. A lot of times you talk about teams that can run well between the tackles. I've never seen a team run better between the guards than our team showed last night in the running game. And that was to great credit to Jonathan Goodwin and the two guards, Mikey Potty and Alex Boone, had great games. Great games by them. Also Joe Staley and Anthony Davis, tremendous performances. We gave a game ball to Joe Staley and to Jonathan Goodwin. we had physical blocking on the perimeter by our wide receivers. Bruce Miller had a tremendous game. Kendall Hunter had some really tough physical runs in the ball game. So from the offensive standpoint, that was very tough. They were coming off the ball extremely well, and Mikey Potty, really, I don't know how you could be more physical than he was in this game, and he really set a tone there. Defensively, Justin Smith got a game ball, great against the run, great against the pass. Deshaun Golston got a game ball, played the deep ball very well, got the interception, had some tremendous tackles. Gritty, physical performance by our two inside linebackers, both Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis. Just gritty. I mean, that's about the best word you could say for it. A tremendous play from both of those men. And there's other examples. Certainly the special teams needs to be highlighted. Everybody played good on our special teams. I mean, we got off blocks. We blocked. Guys were in good position and did a great job getting off of blocks. And you know, a lot of guys contributed there. I mean, even Deshaun at the end of the game was cramping up, but ran down on that important punt, and to the point where he couldn't continue the next series. Just left it all out there. The punter was magnificent. David had a heck of a game. Akers, C.J. Spillman was leading it, and. So other things to highlight, but there's a few that contributed really to that most physical 30 minutes of football that I've seen our team play.
Did Frank let on that he was having a hard time? Did you know that he was, having trouble breathing there in the second half?
No, he didn't let on. And when you go back and look at the film, you see the play. I believe it was in this. It was either in the drive in the third quarter or late second quarter that he got the hit.
He didn't say anything to anybody until he removed himself from the game.
To my knowledge.
Chip, obviously you don't want the penalty, but just the way Deshaun started that game with just the fire, and I mean, he and Marshawn Lynch looked like, I mean, they were, in your words, a football battle going on there. Did you like that kind of fire and that passion that Deshaun was showing just short of the penalty?
Well, two great front up tackles. The first one out in the open field there on the sideline. They both. I mean, just they locked up like two Rams locking up. And it had a big physical play. I mean, Marshawn jumped up and was right in Deshaun's face, and then the next one was one of the best front up tackles I've ever seen. Where Deshaun made that tackle, and then it got the penalty. I thought he was I thought he was talking to Justin, who was also on the bottom of the pile and on top of Marshawn. So there was no physical contact there. He was just, to me, he was talking to Justin. So, but anyway, referees didn't see it that way.
Referees, a lot of plays on the outside where your receivers are kind of locked up with cornerbacks. How did you see that confrontation throughout the game going?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't use the word locked up. There's another word I would use, but you know, we'll take that up with the officials. You know, in New York, and you know, get their view of it. That's the only position that we can be in.
Is that important to maybe get that rectified? Obviously, they're known, their corners, for their physical play. Obviously, you're going to play those guys again. Is this something, obviously, you feel needs to be addressed before you play them again?
Yeah, I think that's just the it's an important thing to address. I mean, you know, what is this all being defined as? Is it physical play? Is it within the rules? You know, our only, you know, that's the biggest question. Is it within the rules? What's happening? So, you know, we have to ask that question. We have to know how to, what the interpretation is.
Did you see that previously on film with them?
Yes.
Is that, you know, the passing game wasn't, you know, there were some issues there, not being able to get the ball to the wideouts and Vernon as well. How big of a factor was that in your guys' inability to start to field a little bit?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, talking about Vernon, Vernon had one of his best games as a blocked, his blocking was outstanding. And then secondly, you know, the touchdown block highlights it, but his blocking all day, I mean, he's blocking Red Bryant, you know, pretty consistently the entire game, and just did one heck of a job, and allowed our centers, our guards to, you know, work the tackles and up to the linebackers, which created some huge holes in the middle. And we could not have gotten that done without Vernon Davis blocking their 350-pound defensive end. So it was he was wearing the sombrero, a big part of the game, and it led to some huge plays. Then the touchdown block was huge. And maybe, you know, one of the biggest plays that, you know, it's just – without looking at the tape and noticing the real big plays he made during the game in the blocking schemes was the tackle after the interception, which was huge for the game, huge for field position, and a great hustle play by Vernon. When you talk about, you know, this was a physical game, a physical half of football, Vernon was the tip of one of the tips of the spears in that regard. You know, definitely, we was targeted. We couldn't get him. Couldn't get him the ball in the passing game, and you know that occurs from time to time. But you know, it was still a great game by Vernon for those reasons.
When Colin Kaepernick went in and he took off running and got hit in the head, which is the league rule says that, you know, he's a runner at that point.
Correct.
Are you okay with that rule, Jim? With that. He has established himself as a runner, so it makes that an okay hit?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's football. You know, at that point, your quarterback's running with the ball.
You had a third down near the end of the game. You had the quarterback drive.
I do also believe that, you know, that's for any quarterback, you know. You know, any quarterback that's out of the pocket running the football, there should be no asterisk put on it or tag put on it. Well, this is a known running quarterback or a known option quarterback compared to a known drop back quarterback. I mean, it's the position, it's the intent that they're in when they're out of the pocket running the football. So, but yeah, I believe that they're football players, and they have the ability to be running the football at that time, and you know, defender has to get them stopped.
He didn't get dinged up from that hit. He was okay afterwards.
Yeah, not that I know of. No.
Jimmy, you had the 3rd and 7 late in the game. You had a quarterback draw. Uh-huh. Was that call influenced by the interception outs had on the other 3rd and 7?
No.
Jim, when you put together an offensive game plan, is it Greg Roman's sole vision or is it a collaborative effort?
Like we've always said, we've defined it pretty well. This is Greg Roman's offense. Yeah, he's the greatest share is Greg Roman. Now, there's times we have suggestions and collaborate, but it's Greg's offense.
Does Reggie Davis draw up and suggest passing plays to the tight ends, red zone, nickel situations during the week, or is it mostly Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it any other way. Greg's the greatest share.
Why did those plays come into the game plan against the
Steelers? There was plays there. Yeah, I just said it. I mean, we had plays designed targeting our tight ends. One we hit, and the others we didn't get completions or even the ball thrown in some occasions. But so there's your answer.
I've noticed you haven't been calling plays like the stick and nod and the Y stick looky like you did at Stanford and San Diego. Are those still a staple of your West Coast offense?
Yes. Yeah, and you noticed incorrectly. We did call the stick in this game and the looky. Not the nod, but the looky.
The trap play.
You're getting familiar with terms. That's good. It's good. We can talk. Then we can talk.
The trap plays obviously were very effective.
Yeah.
I mean, was that something where you had, you know, the trap in the game plan, and when it was effective, you kept going back to it until they could prove that they could stop it?
Yes.
Was that something you thought you would do as much as you did going into this week? Because it was a short week, and the Seahawks might not be able to game plan for everything.
No, not necessarily. I mean, there's a lot of things you go into a game plan with, and you know, you want to have some volume for the things that are working, and that doesn't mean that there's not volume for other situations, but there's always a tendency to, you know, repeat good plays.
They really dedicated their linebackers to stopping the deep passes. I mean, and is that sort of a pick your poison, that if you do that as a defense, you can get those trap plays and you can get those nice dump offs to Frank Gore and to Kendall Hunter?
Yeah, there were some real good situations to check the ball down to the halfback. And we, you know, it's not something that we've been majoring in over the first 6 games until this game. You know, everything had been more shot down the field or the intermediate throws. And I think that's how we were getting played. And then Alex did a good job of taking what was there. And we did have a couple shots downfield in the game, especially early. You know, we probed that, and we had a couple good looks, and we didn't hit them. But you know, that also can help set up some of those underneath throws.
Couple more.
Not committing the turnover has been a big emphasis for this team, and Alex, after being stellar in that last year, 4 interceptions in the last 2 games, what do you most attribute that to?
Well, I mean, there's we had one game that was out of our character, you know, out of his character, you know, it was a just a bad run there in that game, led to 3 of them, but it's all on us. It's a team thing as well. I mean, the situation that you're in, we all take responsibility for that. And so it's not attributable one thing. I mean, I think there's several things that can attribute that. But I believe it was a one-time thing. And you never say that in football because, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, Alex, you know, for the most part, our offense was moving last night. We were gaining the field position advantage. You know, got it early, regained it late. But we were in a better situation in this particular game in terms of field position than we were in the previous game. And there's a couple drives that, you know, we stalled and didn't get the, you know, got a three and out that, you know, we, especially when we had the good field position after the big punt return by Ted Ginn, we had the ball at midfield and before the half, we would like to have converted that for some points. One of the throws, I mean, it's not impossible to throw the ball when your helmet is turned and you're looking out the side of the ear hole, but it makes it a lot harder. And it was amazing that, you know, that ball wasn't intercepted, you know, because that's hard to do. Not insurmountable, but it's very hard. That's a little window. Not insurmountable.
Last one.
Jim, I've asked this before. You said no, but his interceptions have coincided or come after his finger injury. Is that affecting him in any way? His accuracy, his velocity, anything?
I can't say for sure. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that would ever say it, and none of us are that would publicly, you know, make any excuse or rationalization. So I know him, and I wouldn't disgrace him by saying it was so publicly. I know the kind of guy he is and the kind of competitor he is, so.
Privately.
A lot of conversations, yeah, privately. Yeah, definitely. But right. Good. It's good. It's good. It's getting better. And, you know, I think we'll have a pretty strong and healthy team coming out of the this weekend and going into the game Monday night. I think we'll be really, really in a good place physically with our team.
If that finger was an issue, you feel like this layoff obviously will give him a chance to completely heal up.
I think, you know, it's gonna help our whole team. You know, first just getting rest and letting the bodies come back. That was a you know, tough physical game on a very short amount of time to play it in. So I think our whole team needs that, needs some rest, and you know, before we start preparing for the Monday night game. I know our coaches do, and you know, really tip my hat to all of our coaches. After we played the game against the Giants, it wasn't but 2 or 3 hours after the game that every coach made it into the office and you know, worked in some guys' case till 5 a.m. the next morning, caught a couple hours sleep, and then did the exact same thing the next night. Players' lounge was full of coaches for a couple hours, sleeping from 5 to 7 a.m. But it was great effort on their part.
Greg Roman's eye clearing up. He said he's got his red eye. He attributed to a lack of sleep.
Yeah, noticed it was much better today. Winning helps all those eyes, fingers. Ribs.
Will you be here this weekend? Are you taking the weekend off?
Oh, spend a little time with my family. And probably make it in at some point.